Let's go back to the Bema seat.
Okay.
And I'm there, waiting for the good stuff, the crowns for...
And waiting for your big pile of jewels. And
so, if I understand, does that include work? Like, I supported orphans, or I went and, shared the work. I mean, I did all kinds of stuff for the right reason, of course, but I'm doing good stuff. But if that's the case, is it also, do you get a break if you're... Well, okay, bottom line, and I know people that might be in a wheelchair, so we're limited to maybe doing as much, so we want to. It's like, oh, I wish I could go over to that city and do something, but, I don't have the transportation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we get credit for it? Now that you're less... able, even though your heart, you wish you could and want to, but if you're trying, but you can.
Mm-hmm. Some people have more opportunities than others, obviously. Paul addresses that in the gifts that are given. Paul talks about the spiritual gifts in Romans 12, and 1 Corinthians 12 talks about spiritual gifts, which I don't believe are in... They're not being used now. But Paul, when he talks about gifts in both Colossians or Corinthians and in Romans, talks in terms of some are given much and some are given little. It's the same as the minas. How are they being used? When people are given the minas, someone got 10 minas, they came back with 10 more. Someone got one mina, came back with one more. Now, they're all faithful in using what the Lord had given them. We, likewise, I believe, we have certain talents, we have certain abilities, we have certain things that the Lord has kind of for us, I think, given us, each one of us has specific abilities that we can use for the Lord. And it's how these abilities are used is what's important, not how much you're accomplishing. So when we have opportunities, how do we take those opportunities and use them? And each of us will have certain opportunities. Some will have more. You think of the Billy Grahams of the world. Well, look at the opportunities he had. And was he building on Pauline doctrine? Not always, unfortunately. So those who are faithfully building on Pauline doctrine, I would say, would be more faithful than those who are building off to the side somewhere. And so when you have an opportunity, getting down to the individual basis, someone like you, Penny, perhaps don't have as many opportunities, but there are many things you can do. One thing you can do is pray for people. When the Lord places something on your heart, be faithful in prayer. You can be just faithful in the opportunities that come to you, more so than someone who has many opportunities but ignores them. And so there's, I think, in that case, you would be found more faithful than someone who is... seemingly has more opportunities, but yet turns their back on those opportunities. So we will be judged for our deeds. Has nothing to do with our salvation, fortunately. And we have then the opportunities that are put before us. How do we use those? So we can't say specifically how someone is to use their abilities or whatever. But I think the Lord will kind of, if we're truly walking in the Spirit and truly seeking His will in what He wants us to do, that He'll give us these opportunities that come our way. Cindy?
I think both works also include taking the time to be built up in self-doctrine and Bible study and sharing it with others, and that's something that most of us can do. So it's not just going out and helping somebody, but
and it really comes down to, with believers, the edification, being able to edify each other, to build each other up. And so we, each time we interact with a believer, it should be our goal to edify them, or they should to edify us. Sometimes we're not in a position to be the edificator. Is that a word? There's two things I think the Lord wants us to do. Number one, glorify Him. But how do we glorify Him? We glorify Him, first of all, by building each other up. And that's why we're here. We're encouraging each other. I mean, isn't it encouraging to be able to come together and to have like-mindedness about the Scripture and to be able to understand it in deeper ways? I mean, that is very encouraging. And it's something that we need to have. It's something that would be nice to have a midweek service along the way, because that process of being able to building each other up is so absolutely important, especially in this world. Number two, we're to reach out to the world, and so that reaching out is also part of it. And when we're running into people, we should be faithful in being able to tell people about Christ. At least live our lives to reflect Christ, and then to tell them about what the opportunities given to be able to do that. So how faithful are we? Well, you know, that's what's going to be judged, I think, at the Bema Seat.
It seems like we talk about this sometimes, we have to witness to Christians about the Pauline doctrine, because if it wasn't for Cindy and Candy, Mary Jo and I wouldn't even be here. We had no clue of what this even was. But somebody has to tell you, you have to be open to it, but it sounds odd, but we have to witness to Christians.
Isn't it amazing how ignorant people are?
And
right, but why is that? It's because you went to churches that would preach the traditions of men instead of preaching doctrine and preaching the truth. And so again, that book, and I'd love to use that book as like a, Bethesda did the Summer Quest thing.
You know, I'm okay. It's out of print, but I will contact and see if we could order 20 or something. Like, I mean, yeah, it's so good if we end up having this.
I think, doesn't Richard Jordan still sell it on Forgotten Truth's website? He used to, that's where I got mine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll start there.
Interesting. Well, that would be great, because it's really an eye-opening book as far as what's going on in the world of Christianity, and he makes a distinction between Christianity and Christendom.
Yeah, I think it's like that.
Yeah, there's a huge difference.
Which is Christendom? The best one?
Which one do you have? I didn't say dumb or dung. It's apostasy in the Christian
church
by Barlow.
I will look into it and then report back.
Christian dumb. D-O-M. Yeah, Christian dumb. Christendom would be the whole body of those who accept Christian principles and values but don't have to be Christian. Those who are Christian also do a disservice. They're part of the Christendom, in a sense, because they move away from Pauline doctrine. And when they move away from Pauline doctrine, that's apostasy. And that goes back to
Origen and Augustine.
Yeah, Augustine and all those early church fathers. If you remember Paul, as he's dying in the dungeon, said, "All those in Asia have left me." Now that doesn't mean that they just don't visit him anymore. It means that doctrinally they have left what Paul was teaching. They wanted nothing to do with it. Remember in Galatians, which Galatia is just the district just to the east of Asia in Turkey. Turkey is on the western side of Turkey. Asia is on the western side of Turkey, and Galatia is just east of that. And all those in Asia left me means that all the churches that belonged on that Paul had visited, including Ephesus, they would be in that group. He was saying all those churches left me. And so people leave Pauline doctrine. They don't accept it or they leave it. And it's inconvenient to preach because people don't flock to it. It's easier to preach something that's simple and Jesus love and all these things. The John 3:16 Christianity but that's where they stop. And there's no growth because you're not teaching the right thing. And once you get into Pauline doctrine, then you can start living a life that's pleasing to the Lord because you know how to walk properly. And churches don't do that because it's the inconvenient truth, if I can steal a phrase.
Well, it's an inconvenient truth, but for most of them, they don't understand it personally.
No, they've never come to that understanding. Then, therefore, they preach the traditions of men instead of going back into Scripture. And those traditions are what kills Christianity. And like Marjorie said, going back to the early church fathers, well, if all those left Paul in Asia, can we really trust some of these church fathers to pick up Paul? How many of them preached Pauline doctrine? They didn't. They left the doctrine behind. But yet how many churches uphold the church fathers? And I'm not talking about Catholic. Sproul holds up church fathers. So many churches, fundamental churches, uphold the church fathers for their direction in how what they should believe.
Yeah, and the replacement theology.
And absolutely. It's all tied together, and I think it's Satan, very subtly in some cases, bringing Christians away from what they need to believe. And that stunts growth. So we are kind of an enigma here in understanding Pauline doctrine. And it's really sad that the groups are basically going to be small. We have a city of 3 million people, and we can barely have, well, there's another group that meets up north, the Twin City Grace Fellowship, and us and Bethesda, who seems to have kind of backed away from some of those things because it's inconvenient.